It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Here's an example of how signs of progress in Iraq can sometimes lead to side effects. American forces gave Iraqis control over security in a province northeast of Baghdad, but they couldn't stop insurgents who moved in force to Diyala province. Then there was another side effect. The so-called surge of U.S. forces in Baghdad caused some insurgents to move elsewhere, and some chose Diyala. Now U.S. forces have had to increase their military operations there. NPR's Jamie Terabay accompanied American soldiers last weekend at the start of a mission to clear one of the villages.
Dubbed Minotaur, the U.S. military operation to clear the village of Kuba began hours and miles away under the noses of the uninformed Iraqi military. Troops of the 82nd Airborne used a nearby joint U.S.-Iraqi military base as a staging area. First Lieutenant Michael Anderson said the Iraqis were not told because they weren't trusted to keep the operation a secret from the insurgents.
We've had to arrest a lot of Iraqi army, especially one lieutenant who's the chief of the station here. We had to arrest him. You know, because what they'll do is they'll give early warning to the insurgents in the area. Usually they'll do pistol shots or tracers in the air, and that will warn all the high-value targets in the area that were coming, so they'll all hide.
The village of Kuba was once home to a mixed population of Sunnis and Shiites. But now, nearly half the residents have fled, and the rest live in small sectarian enclaves. Captain Michael Few says Operation Minotaur took 3 weeks to plan. But even as he set off, Few wasn't sure what to expect.
I don't know. it's always a gamble. I mean, we could get in there, and they identify that we're coalition forces, and then we're coming with overwhelming numbers, and they choose not to fight. It's going to be a long day talking to the populace, where everybody tells me they're a farmer, and their hands are much softer than mine are. Or they may choose to fight. If there's a key leader in the town, they will fight, and we'll kill them.
The operation itself involves three other units on the ground and air assault teams. Captain Few and his men arrived at the southern entrance to Kuba as artillery from a nearby forward operating base rained down on the northern part of the village. Flares flew into the night sky. Captain Few said there were warning signals from insurgents. A mosque began its call to dawn prayers before morning had come. With the booms of artillery in the air, Few pointed to a map on his computer screen to show the path his men would take into the village.
We're going to begin our attack now. We're going to go up to here, set all of our trucks in, then we'll push forward. My troop will clear from here up to about there, all the houses in there. You got that?
How many houses?
Probably about 50. It's going to take us all day. Now we're bringing the ordnance guys up. So if we hit an IED, they'll find it first and clear it so we don't get blown up.
There's gunfire as the Humvees rumble along. Night eventually gives way to a gray morning, and the soldiers move door to door on foot. One of the Humvees begins broadcasting a message to the insurgents as it rolls down the street. It's part taunt, part challenge. "You're cowards," it says. "You don't have the strength or the courage to match our forces."
MG! MG!
An American soldier yells in Arabic at one Iraqi man, telling him to go back inside his house. The troops want everyone to stay indoors during the operation.
Roger, we got three military HMLs, break.
One of the units has detained three men found with several weapons, fake ID cards, and a spool of copper wire, the kind, Captain Few said, that's used to set up roadside bombs or IEDs. The soldiers walk the three young men down the road, hands bound behind their backs with plastic ties.
Nice shaves they got there.
Yeah, well, hobby shaves.
That's like today?
Yeah. They shaved their beards this morning. No one in Diyala River ever is freshly cut. Everybody always has a 2 to 3 day growth.
Captain Few says the soldiers have to rely on little signs to know whom to detain. Signs like a freshly shaved face or a fake identification card. In this case, the hunch pays off.
We did a swipe test on those three detainees, and one of them came up positive for TNT. TNT is pretty easy. He's making some type of bomb.
Captain Few gets on the radio to the soldiers holding the detainees.
okay, get Rocky to start beating this guy up, because he's obviously working some bombs right now. I want to know where they're at. My concern would be a house being rigged.
The interrogation of the detainees took place out of view. One of Captain Few's targets was a local religious leader, a man called Sheikh Abdulrahman. He had apparently hidden in the local mosque, the one place in the village the U.S. troops can't enter. Few says the Sheikh only became powerful after he'd been detained for a while by U.S. troops and then released because of insufficient evidence against him.
When he comes back to his town, he becomes invincible. And so his stature is just increased exponentially because he can't be touched by Americans, or at least it's perceived that way.
The U.S. soldiers find a tribal leader closeted in his house along with the other men in his family. They gathered around the front gate to answer questions from Few's interpreter.
Do you know Sheikh Abdulrahman?
Do you know Sheikh Abdulrahman?
No.
Yeah, he knows. They say, I don't know.
Well, where does he live at?
He goes,
I need his help.
When is he going home?
لا تكلم خام السادس مئة.
Can you take us to his house?
He goes, تقدر تأخذ البيت؟
لا أنا خاف.
No, he's scared. He say, can I go?
Why are you scared?
He goes, ليش؟
الأمور مو حلوة.
He say, the situation is bad.
يصير أنا جاسوس عليه أو.
He say, I cannot go with you. He think when I go with you, he think the Sheikh Abdulrahman, he think that this Sheikh he give information for him, you know.
I just want to talk to him.
The American captain continued to press. He pointed to the men standing around the elderly man and said it was their duty to keep the village safe.
You have to take the responsibility as a sheikh to step up and say, this is wrong and I'm not going to accept it. If you do not do that, you're going to have nothing. You're going to be prisoners of your own home.
The soldiers continue their search. They enter a house watched by two women, a young boy and a little girl. One of the soldiers finds ammunition buried in the back of the garden and throws it at the feet of the Iraqis. An interpreter says one of the women claims it belongs to her husband, who's left the village to find work elsewhere. The soldier doesn't buy it.
I understand you're worried about your children, but right now we're talking about the weapons. What else do you have buried in here?
As the operation continues, one of the Humvees starts playing music on its speakers to boost the morale of the soldiers on the ground.
23, never will I live to see 24 the way things are going, I don't know.
By nightfall, at least 20 insurgents had been killed and at least as many detained. Weapons, passports, night vision goggles and ammunition were confiscated. Captain Few said he hoped this operation would at least put a dent in the insurgency.
All in all, it was a good day. All my boys are safe. We accomplished our mission. All my trucks are good. You can't ask for much more. First day of the operation went smoothly. So.
The second day was deadlier. Four of the soldiers in Captain Few's unit were killed by a roadside bomb. Two others were wounded. The operation continues. Jamie Tarabay, NPR News, in Diyala Province, Iraq.
Tell me why are we so blind to see that the IEDs hurt
when they hit me?